Fan Junkies Radio is brought to you by FanJunkies.net, where sports meet social networking.
Gentlemen, and welcome to another exciting episode of Fan Junkies Radio. It's episode 41. I'm your host, Jonathan Ragus. Alongside me, as always, Mike McShane. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, how are we doing today, Jonathan? Hump day, huh?
Yeah, it is. It's hump day here. It's hump day everywhere.
The 19th of December. We're just, about a little bit over 5 days before Christmas.
Yeah, can't wait.
How about that?
I know. It's this month's going pretty quick, Mike.
Who'd have thunk it, honestly, really?
Not only is this month going quick, but this show is going quick because 41 episodes in now.
It's absolutely incredible to me. Where's the time go?
I don't know, but it's scary. It's very scary, Mike.
Yep.
Well, we got a lot to talk about today. Actually, a lot of football talk. We're going to be talking about some New York Jets. We're going to be talking about the Dallas Cowboys. Also some MLB hot stove, and then towards the end of the show, we're going to be talking some NBA, Lakers, Knicks, 76ers, and more. So stay tuned for that. Always a good show. So let's start at the call number today first, 347-237-5373. If you want to call in and talk sports with us, please call in.
Or whatever's on your mind. It doesn't matter. So long as it's sports related, whatever's on your mind, call in. We'll chat about it.
Yep. That's what we're here for. And it's fun, fun stuff. So let's talk a little football first, Mike. We're going to be making our Week 16 picks. We're going towards the end of the NFL season. A lot of foot races here in the NFL. But you know what? Before we make our picks, let's talk about two topics first. First being the Dallas Cowboys, Mike.
Yeah.
And this whole thing with Josh Brent being on the sidelines, this past weekend at Cowboy Stadium for their game. If nobody knows, Josh Brent, he was in a car accident a couple of weeks ago. His teammate Jerry Brown, that was next to him in the car, they were they were drunk, and Jerry Brown, unfortunately, was killed in that automotive accident. But Josh Brent on the sidelines. Mike, you read a lot about this. First, what was your reaction when they showed Josh Brent on the sidelines for the Dallas game?
Are you kidding me? I was absolutely livid. I couldn't believe it. I mean, he's standing there at the cameras. Obviously, the camera's going to pick him up. I mean, and there you go. I mean, you're zooming right in on the guy, and he's standing there on the sidelines, and I'm sitting here going, what in the world is he doing on the sideline? I mean, correct me. He's been suspended, correct?
Yes, I believe so. I'm not sure if he was suspended, was he? I know he's on the non-injury-related
exactly.
List, but I don't know if he was actually suspended yet.
Well, regardless, one of your teammates, you were responsible for the death of one of your teammates, all right? And you're standing on the sideline. I mean, it certainly gave the impression to all of the viewers that were watching that game from the outside. It certainly gave all of us the impression that, oh, well, the team allowed this. They're, no issue, no problem.
Yeah.
Well, we come to find out after the fact, Jason Garrett comes out and says, we didn't. We had no idea that he was going to show up there. We had no idea. Cut me a break. I mean, you didn't have any idea. Somebody else was saying, he did. He did apparently leave then shortly after the cameras caught him. I would imagine there was probably some there was a phone call made to the sideline. Saying, hey, I think we better get him the hell off of the field.
Yeah.
I know that this story's gone back and forth. Apparently, the mother of the deceased player indicated.
Yeah, Jerry Brown's mother. Yes.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you. Indicated that, this is what she wanted. She wanted the team to continue to support Brent. That she said that the two apparently were very close, that she wasn't going to hold any kind of grudges or animosity. And you know something? God bless the woman. I think that's terrific on her part.
Yeah, terrific of her. So
absolutely. I mean, if she can do that and not hold any kind of resentments or whatever. I mean, I you got to give that woman a heck of a lot of credit.
So,
but I just think from the standpoint of the team's perspective, regardless of what mom wants, if mom wants to be that way in her own life with Josh Brent, that's fine. What you do, you do. But I think from a team standpoint, you have to be concerned about what the public relation perspective is. And I couldn't. Now apparently, the Cowboys have come out and said that he's banned from future games until the issue is resolved.
Yes. But that's it. We were talking pregame, Mike. We've seen a lot of players DUI, get arrested, suspended, 1, 2, 3, 4, even maybe 5 games, no contact with the team. Here's a guy who not only was, a DUI, but then somebody actually was killed. In this thing, but he's allowed to return to the team the following week to be on their sidelines. I just don't get that. I also don't get, Jason Garrett, Jerry Jones, whatever, not knowing that this guy is even in their stadium and on their sidelines.
Yeah, and like I said, I sent you over the article that that appeared in USA Today yesterday.
Yeah.
And on the front end of it, there were quotes from Jason Garrett where, oh, no, we had no idea that he was going to be there. And, yes, I was in touch with him. We're trying to help him out and work him through this difficult period in his life. But then later in the article, Jason Garrett's quoted again as saying, the team is very supportive of him. And, we want to do everything we possibly can to help him through this situation. Well, to me, you're kind of talking out of two sides of your mouth.
Yeah.
I got a little bit of a problem with that. Seriously.
Yeah.
I mean, we've all made mistakes, and this was a tragic situation to have occurred.
Yeah.
And hopefully over a period of time, people get over it and Josh Brent will reconcile himself and work out whatever problems he's had, with this. But, to be showing up and appearing on a team sideline – 10 days after the fact?
Yeah. Well, listen, like you said, there's probably going to be, he'll reconcile with himself over this and he'll learn to live with it. I mean, there's been other cases. Danny Heatley, who plays for the Minnesota Wild right now, was, doing the same thing. Terrible car crash after drinking and driving and, it killed it killed his teammate Dan Snyder.
Right.
Years ago, David Wesley racing his car with Bobby Phils, both former NBA stars, and what happened? Bobby Phils, he ends up wiping out, crashing, and dead at 30 years old. So I mean this is not the first time we heard this happen, Mike.
Right.
Just you have to agree that the way the Cowboys handled it this past weekend was piss poor.
Well, so. I think it lacked sensitivity. And again, I don't want to speak for the mother. Maybe she was copacetic with it. Obviously,
which is fine. But like you said, the mother has nothing to do with the professional organization.
Correct.
And the way they handle it with this member of their organization.
And I think in that respect, I think that the Cowboys were somewhat insensitive.
Yeah.
And again, I repeat, I don't want to sound like a. Like a nasty SOB that thinks that people that get into these kinds of situations, can't come back from it and can't change their ways, change their life and get past it. I wish Josh Brent all the best in the future. I just think at this particular time, there needs to be some sensitivity toward the individual that was lost.
Well, absolutely. And also, you still have management saying that they're unaware that he was in the game. He showed up at the game. Listen, I'm sorry. He's on the sidelines. You can't just walk into a professional NFL stadium and get past everybody. Everybody in this stadium knew who Josh Brent was, what happened the week prior to him showing up at this game. And you're going to tell me that the security guards at the stadium where he had to show ID and he had to show his Dallas Cowboys organization pass that they didn't know who this guy was and that they didn't report, to anybody else in the stadium about this? Come on.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, what are you trying to tell me? That he walked down from the stands? That he had a seat up in the stands and he walked down to join his teammates on the sideline? Come on, he came out of the locker room.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's get it straight. Get out.
And you knew he was in the locker room before the game even started.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And you know,
to Garrett, Jerry Jones, it's garbage because both of those guys were in the locker room before the game. You know.
Right. And you know, the other, just to juxtapose it, because I kind of felt that it was a good story, and I think it's worth mentioning. You know, you and I were talking pre-show, and we talk about this situation. And then when you take this story that the media is bringing us, you juxtapose that against the wonderful, wonderful story about Victor Cruz from the New York Giants.
Yeah, wonderful story from him. You know, unfortunately, a tragic story, but, you know, a wonderful thing that Victor Cruz did.
But going up there to Connecticut to visit with the family of the young victim that apparently was buried wearing a number 80 New York Giants jersey because the little boy was just so enamored with Victor Cruz, and that was his hero, you know, playing on the field. Two stories that are so diametrically opposed.
Yeah.
One of sensitivity towards the deceased, one showing insensitivity towards the deceased, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Two diametrically opposed situations.
Absolutely, absolutely. We also have to mention that, you know, Victor Cruz wrote on his shoes, you know, during his past weekend's game, it says, "Jack Pinto, my hero." Mm-hmm. You know, unfortunately, you know, tragedy that nobody will possibly ever get over, but, you know, a little glimmer of light comes from it. You know, watching a professional athlete really, take it upon himself to try and help the family heal. So, you know, amazing story there from Victor Cruz. We could say more about the whole Josh Brent thing. You know, we could talk probably the whole hour about Victor Cruz and, you know, other professional athletes who have taken it upon themselves to, you know, help people heal and to, you know, help people get through, hard times, but, you know, unfortunately we have other things to talk about. I'd love to talk about that, though, for a lot longer, Mike, but let's turn it over to Jets Nation, Mike. We got a couple of things coming out here from the New York Jets. First off, quarterback Mark Sanchez receiving death threats via Twitter from, call him a fan of the Jets, whatever, but you know, some of the tweets reading, "Don't come to practice Wednesday. Promise you bullets everywhere. Sanchez, better have armed security Wednesday at practice. You think I'm going to sit there and watch this crap?" And, a whole bunch of other stuff. But, first, death threats from fans on professional athletes. We've seen it before, many times before, unfortunately, Mike. Also, you know, coming off this tragedy where, you know, we're talking about armed assault weapons and all this other stuff, and then this guy comes out. I mean, what the hell is wrong with people, man?
Yeah, well, no doubt about it. I mean, you know, but so, you know, it's the nature of social media. It's become so easy for us to, without a face, just blindly bully people, say whatever we want because, make no mistake, that quote-unquote fan would never say that to Mark Sanchez's face.
Oh, no, absolutely.
All right, can I tell you right now, that fan wouldn't even scream those kinds of sentiments. If he were sitting in the stadium, he wouldn't do that.
No.
So, you know, it's all about how easy it has become for us to, in some respects, I mean, social media is a good thing. Here's a perfect example of where it brings out the worst in all of us.
Yeah.
We see it all the time. We see it with kids. We see it with adults. The passion is one thing. We all have passion for our sports and for our specific teams. There's a way to show it. That's not the way to do it.
No, there's not. I mean, that's just disgusting. Yeah, come on.
Absolutely.
You know, the guy's a human being. Yeah, well, whatever. He's playing poorly on the field, but that doesn't mean you're going to go out and kill the guy. Come on.
Yeah.
You know. But you know what? Even to threaten somebody's life that way, it's just disgusting.
Oh, absolutely.
It's disgusting. Like you said, it's not the first time we've seen it done. It won't be the last time, unfortunately, but. You know, just disgusting. I mean, what else can you really say?
Apparently, the fan came back out on Tuesday and, meekly attempted to discount his statements, apologizing, etc. You know, to me, the last I heard, the NFL's looking into the situation. They're investigating it. And personally, I think it should be – I think there should be some sort of penalty for it.
No, I know. Absolutely. You know, what the fan came out and says, I do not want to harm Mark Sanchez or do intend to. I'm just a diehard Jets fan that was mad and got carried away. Come on, carried away, dude, telling him not to go to practice because bullets are going to be flying everywhere. I mean, to me, that's not only threatening Mark Sanchez, that's threatening everybody that's on the practice field.
Yeah, good point.
You know what I mean? So it is disgusting, and I do agree that there should be some sort of penalty for something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's a terroristic threat.
Well, listen, if I go outside right now and I got a tiff with my neighbor and I threaten death on my neighbor, he calls the cops, I'm getting cuff slapped on me.
You got it.
I'm getting taken to the station. There's going to be a lot of reports filed on me.
That's right.
Not only that, it's going to give me a police record. Why can't this guy have the same thing being done for threatening somebody's life?
Well, and as you point out, when the guy's threatening that there's bullets going to be flying, that's a terroristic threat because there are other people in that stadium at the time that he was promising that was going to happen.
Yeah, You know what, man? Maybe we're taking it too far with our opinions on it. But you know, when you threaten somebody to tell them, listen, don't go to practice. Bullets are going to be whizzing by you everywhere, and you better have armed security to protect you. That's a legitimate death threat.
Yes.
You know, I mean, there's nothing more you could possibly say that it's not.
And let the fans chime in and let them call in and let us know what they think. Has social media gone too far or what?
Yeah, exactly. Give us a call in and let's talk about this whole death threat thing with sports and professional athletes. The call in number is 347-237-5373. Once again, that's 347-237. It's going to be 347-237-5373.
And while we're at it, though.
Yes.
All right, now let's stay on the Jets for a moment.
Yes.
Okay. I sat and watched that game on Monday, and I watched it from the beginning to the end.
Which was awful.
Jonathan, that was without a doubt one of the worst games I have ever seen.
Yes.
Okay?
You've seen good speakers, Mike.
I could not believe. I mean, let's get it. I mean, even following the game.
Yes.
You got Trent Dilfer and Steve Young coming out, and I mean absolutely skewering Mark Sanchez.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, with all due respect, you have many, many times supported Mark Sanchez right here on the air.
Yeah.
You've indicated it's not all his fault. And I agree with you in many cases. It's not.
It's not.
But five turnovers, dude.
Now, hold on.
Now, three of those interceptions.
Yes.
Three or four of those interceptions were outright. Now, I mean, when you watch them.
Yeah. They were awful throws.
Absolutely. Okay?
Yeah, awful throws. That's the whole thing coming down to Mark Sanchez trying to do too much with too little.
That fumble on the last possession where the Jets were moving and they had a potential with 54 seconds left in the game and two timeouts to get into position to potentially go in for a scoring touchdown. That fumble, yes, it was a bad release by the center. However, that should have been controlled. That ball was flying all over the backfield. I mean, yeah. That was ridiculous. It looked like something from Three Stooges.
Yeah. They're done, Mike. They're done.
Sanchez was absolutely horrible. I could not believe going into a game against Tennessee. This is a team that, in my opinion, the Jets should have beaten. This is a team that was on the threshold of potentially making the playoffs. I'm not saying they would have. I'm saying they were in control of their own destiny from the standpoint. All they had to do was win out. Yes, they probably were going to have to get some help. But if they won out, all right, at least they would have done their job in getting themselves into a position to potentially make the playoffs. I cannot believe that this team would come out looking this poorly.
Oh, I believe it. I believe it. They've looked poor all season long. Why can't you believe it now? I mean, they've lost to worse teams than the Titans.
Because, look, Jonathan, at this time of year, when you know that you've got the playoffs potentially on the line, to me, there's something kicks in for the vast majority of teams. I don't care whether you're good, bad, you're mediocre, something kicks in. All right? You're looking at it, you go, this is an important game. We can win this game.
Well, here we go, too. You know what, man? We can actually talk about the mess with success as well from the whole coaching angle from it. You got Mark Sanchez, who on the one drive went for three straight first downs. What happens after that? Once again, you take another hot Mark Sanchez off the field,
right.
Put in Tim Tebow, you go three and out.
Absolutely.
What happened in the third quarter when he went for another three straight first downs? They took him off. You put in Tebow for another series for himself. They went three and out. And not knowing what, you know what, on either of those series, Mark Sanchez could have possibly had the team go for a touchdown.
And make no mistake, I'm sitting here as I'm watching that, particularly the first time that they did it.
Yeah.
I am sitting here actually yelling at the screen going, what in the world are you doing? Why do you do that?
Yeah.
And I even posted up articles. I might have even sent one over to you yourself the other day. I posted up articles where the question was being asked, why was this done?
Yeah.
Why would you do that?
I'm telling you, man, this team is completely lost. And that's why I keep saying, and I'm going to say it again today, I do not blame Mark Sanchez for this season. I blame the entire organization as a whole, and that means Mark Sanchez, the coaching staff, the running backs, the wide receivers, the defense. I blame everybody because there's been just crap being on this field the entire season. If Mark Sanchez has a good game, the running backs are terrible. The offensive line is terrible. When Mark Sanchez has a terrible game, then all of a sudden the offensive line is playing a good game and the running backs are playing a good game. I mean, there's just not a clear medium for this team as a whole, and it hasn't been all season. And to me, that falls on the backs of the entire coaching staff. Rex Ryan, Tony Sperano, the defensive coordinators, it falls on all of them for not getting these guys on the same page.
I agree.
You know, I just can't see why people don't fathom that idea. I don't get it, you know. And don't get me wrong, Mark Sanchez was awful against Tennessee. But at the same time, the entire team was awful against Tennessee. Mm-hmm. But as we always say, it's the quarterback who is always going to get the blame for it, and it's the quarterback who's always going to be the first one to go.
Well, in this particular case, though, you can't put the blame anywhere else but at his feet. I'm sorry. I mean,
No. You absolutely can. You know what? Mark Sanchez.
What, on this game?
I blame the loss of this game on Mark Sanchez, on Rex Ryan, on Tony Sperano, and on a few others. I don't just particularly put this loss on the shoulders of Mark Sanchez. Because, like I said, on those two drives, there was a potential of the Jets going for a touchdown, and yet the fumble at the end of the game wouldn't have mattered.
Well, that's you're right about that.
I do not put this solely on the back of Mark Sanchez. I put this on the back of Mark Sanchez. I put it on the back of Rex Ryan. I put it on the back of Tony Sperano. I put it on the back of a few people. You can't just say this loss was because of Mark Sanchez. You have to say this loss was because of Mark Sanchez, was because of the Jets coaching staff. You can't just put it on Mark Sanchez.
Okay,
and to put it on just Mark Sanchez is very unfair.
So now this weekend, the team decides, with two games remaining.
Greg McElroy.
You're up against San Diego, and you're opening up with Greg McElroy versus Tim Tebow.
Yeah.
Is this the right thing to do?
Honestly, yeah, because I hate to say it, I think Greg McElroy is a better quarterback than both of those players. I think he has a better arm, he has better accuracy. I'm sorry, and I said it before, and I'll say it again. I don't care if Mark Sanchez or Tim Tebow is in there. This team is just awful.
Okay.
You know?
Okay, but wait a minute. Let's look at this. I'm bringing it up from more of a moralistic principle standpoint. Tim Tebow is the number two. Correct me if I'm wrong. Yes?
Yes.
Why isn't he starting?
Listen, this goes from what we said from week one, Mike. Rex Ryan did not want Tim Tebow here. And he's not going to put it on the back of Tim Tebow. I mean, he knows his job is already in jeopardy. What the hell? Let's see what Greg McElroy does, because Tim Tebow is not going to be here next year.
I agree with you.
Or Sanchez most likely won't be here next year if they can find a taker. Or if somehow Greg McElroy becomes the number one starter, Mark Sanchez automatically become the number two. Tim Tebow will not be here next year. So there's no reason to put Tim Tebow into these games right now. Let's see what Greg McElroy can do from the beginning of the first quarter down to the end of the fourth quarter.
In order to move Tebow, they're going to have to trade him.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Or they're just going to have to release him.
I don't know. Is that a good idea? You don't get anything for him. Somebody's going to pick up Tebow, yes?
Honestly, what are they going to get from a very high draft pick? Whatever.
I don't think you get a very high draft pick for him. Be honest with you, the guy's got no track record.
Yeah. But what are you actually going to get for Tim Tebow? I say release him. You're not going to get crap for him.
Well,
if you put Tim Tebow out there in the trade market, he's going to end up being a Jet next year again. That's my opinion.
You don't think anybody would pick him up?
Off waivers, yes. You release him, somebody will sign him. In a trade, I don't think anybody's going to give up any type of commodity, even being a draft pick.
Wow. Okay.
That's me. Like you said, no track record.
Yeah. You know,
coming off a season where he's done nothing, and, you know, you blame the Jets for that. You know, like I said, I don't blame Tim Tebow for any of this. Tim Tebow didn't ask for this.
Mm-hmm.
I think all of the stuff that's been going on, I think it's very, very unfair to Tim Tebow.
Tim Tebow right now apparently says if he doesn't get a start, in, at least in one of the two games remaining, he wants out of the Jets. I personally don't blame him.
Good for him. Like I said, you know, Rex Ryan didn't want him here. I guarantee you Tim Tebow didn't want to be here, but he tried to make the best of it. And unfortunately, it is what it is. You know.
Do you think that Tebow should be starting one of these two games?
No. Honestly, because he's not going to be here next year. Greg McElroy is going to be here next year. Let's see if Greg McElroy could potentially be a number one quarterback. Give him these two games and see what he can do.
Is Rex Ryan going to be here?
I hope not. Honestly, it wouldn't surprise me if he is back next season, but at the same time, he can't be back next season. I think this whole coaching staff needs to go. The only one I think should be back is defensive coordinator Mike Pettine. I think that's the only guy on this team that actually knows what the hell he's doing. Mm-hmm. You know what? They're just going to have to let him go.
I mean, because in many respects, while the Jets have a better record than the Eagles, I see an awful lot of similarity between the just complete unraveling of what's going on up with the Jets to very similarly to the types of situations that we've been seeing down here in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Very, very similar. And, you know, obviously the talk, and I don't know if it's because that Andy Reid has had more years in here. I mean, we're coming off of 14 years here in Philadelphia. Where Rex Ryan is in what, his third, his fourth year? Third?
His fourth year now.
Fourth. But there just doesn't seem to be quite the chatter, or hasn't been quite the chatter, about Rex Ryan moving on, obviously, that we have heard about Andy Reid. Now, I don't know if that was because of the fact that the Jets still had some viability to get into the playoffs. I don't know if that was the case, because obviously if they made the playoffs, I don't think Rex Ryan's going anywhere.
So what? You make the playoffs and then you get bounced in the first game, 51-0. Honestly,
you don't think making the playoffs would have saved his hide?
No. And honestly, it shouldn't, because this has been just a miserable season. And you know what? It's not the Jets so much getting into the playoffs than other teams having a miserable record just as bad as the Jets is. Excuse me, Jets are. So it's. I don't know. Honestly, it's just a mess. Yes, Greg McElroy should start the next two games. Let's see what he's got. Tim Tebow won't be back next season. Let's hope Rex Ryan and Tony Sperano aren't back next season as well. You know, Mark Sanchez is not going anywhere. He'll be the number two starting quarterback next year if they make Greg McElroy or they bring somebody else in, make them the number one.
You think Sanchez is going to sit for a second spot?
He's got no choice. Nobody's going to take that contract for him. I'm sorry. You know what? That four-year extension they gave him is what's going to keep him in the Jets for the next couple of seasons.
Wow.
Unless they just end up releasing him.
What's your gut feeling? Is Rex Ryan back here next year or no? What's your gut feeling? Don't tell me what you want to hear.
My gut feeling is, yeah, he'll be back.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. He's going to be back. My opinion as a fan and my opinion with actual football knowledge is that he can't be back next year.
No, I got your opinion. I'm asking what you actually believe.
Yeah, honestly, I haven't seen any flares up in the air yet about it that Woody Johnson's thinking about getting rid of him.
Mm-hmm.
If after this season all of a sudden he's fired, I would kind of be shocked, but I wouldn't be too surprised. You know
what
I mean?
Yep.
It's honestly like a 50-50 there. You know,
yeah. The
boat's rocking both ways right there. So I don't know, Mike. We'll see what happens. There's a lot that's going to happen this offseason with the Jets.
If they win the next two games, does that soften the blow?
Maybe a little bit, but not for Mark Sanchez, it doesn't. For Rex Ryan, it might a little bit. But if they win the next two games with Greg McElroy as the starting quarterback and they actually get into the playoffs with Greg McElroy as the quarterback, I think Greg McElroy will be our number one quarterback next season for the New York Jets.
Mm-hmm. All right.
That's my opinion, my gut feeling. So, but we'll see this weekend. So,
gotcha.
San Diego Chargers. I mean, for Greg McElroy, he's playing a bad team at the right time. So, we'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Let's get to our Week 16 picks, though. Here, Mike.
Yep.
Do you have the standings for us, or have you not been able to look at them?
The standings. You mean the lineups?
No, the standings between you and I.
Oh, well, no, I got those. Got those right here.
I've had a couple of weeks. I know you're in the lead.
Yeah, I got those right here. Jonathan, you are 117 and 78. All right, 117 and 78, and I got a 6-game lead on you at 123 and 72. So mediocrity reigns.
Hey, listen, man, I'm in second place. I'm happy.
Yeah, that's one way to look at it.
There wasn't other people in this.
There you go.
Yeah,
one way to look at it. I'm in second place. I like that. I like that thinking there. That's pretty good.
You know what, man? I've been trying to go for some sleepers the last couple of weeks, and it's been killing me. So.
Yeah, the glass is half full for you.
Yeah, well, what are you going to do, you know?
There you go.
Listen, I think of it as half empty right now. So let's get to the first game, Thursday Night Football. Atlanta Falcons at the Detroit Lions. Falcons a 4-point favorite. Mike, should that line be higher, and who do you got?
Actually, that game will be on Saturday. There are no
excuse me, it is Saturday. I'm sorry.
Yeah, there are no additional Thursday night games. So just to clarify.
Yeah.
So I think the line should be higher. Maybe, because I'll tell you, just for the fun of it, for 5 minutes at the frat house, I have banned Detroit from being allowed to be highlighted on 5 minutes at the frat house from now until the end of the season, because I am just so disgusted with them. Possibly this line should be a bit higher. I don't care where this game's being played. You know, this game could be played in Matt Stafford's backyard. I don't give a darn. Atlanta's winning this.
Yeah, I got Atlanta as well. That's not a shocker there. Tennessee Titans at the Green Bay Packers. Packers a 13-point favorite. No brainer, Mike.
13. Holy smokes! Wow. Yeah, you know something. I think if I were the betting type, I think I might just take Green Bay and the 13. Yeah, I like the spread on this.
Yeah,
Green Bay. I think they beat that one easily.
Yeah, take Green Bay as well. Throw some money on it. You'll win. Oakland Raiders at the Carolina Panthers. Panthers an 8.5-point favorite.
Well, some of these lines are really, really, really out of whack, and then others you're going to find out, then you're going to hear here that they're really, really tight. This is another one, 8.5. That one doesn't worry me either. I think you take Carolina against this pitiful Oakland team.
Yeah, they're just awful. Hey, man, you know what? Maybe that'll be the next stop for Tim Tebow or Mark Sanchez in Oakland. Who knows? Take the Panthers. They'll easily dispatch the Oakland Raiders. Next game, Buffalo Bills at the Miami Dolphins. Dolphins a 4.5-point favorite here, Mike.
Yeah, you know, I kind of like that.
Huh? We know who you're taking.
I kind of like that. Buffalo's skittish, though. You know, they can come out there, they can have a game, all of a sudden they'll wow you. You know,
yeah.
Fitzpatrick will come out there all of a sudden and he will light it up. And you just never quite know what you're going to see. I guess, you know, I've referred to Minnesota as being schizophrenic over on the NFC side. I guess if there's a schizophrenic one, it would be Buffalo here on the AFC side. Nonetheless, it's at Miami, and I'm taking Miami.
Nice. I'm actually taking Buffalo in this game because I want to see if you can get a 7-game lead over me.
I was going to say, you because you knew I was going to take Miami.
Yeah. Well, anyway. Cincinnati Bengals at the Pittsburgh Steelers. Steelers a 4-point favorite. Who do you got, Mike?
Could be one of the best games all weekend, huh? As Cincinnati is fighting for that wild card situation. Pittsburgh still has a shot at it, but they're going to need a little bit of help. But nonetheless, they're going to have to win outright in their next two games. So this game is at Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's, you know, it's a must win for them. But I'm going to tell you right now, I think Cincinnati, I'm going to take Cincinnati on this one.
Yep, I actually have Cincinnati as well as my pick here, Mike. New England Patriots at the Jacksonville Jaguars. Patriots a 14.5-point favorite. I think the line should be higher. Who do you got, Mike?
You think the line should be higher?
Yeah, why not?
Oh, man, you'd make nobody happy in Vegas. Trust me, none of the bettors would like you.
No.
Yeah.
And no, I could care less.
New England, come on. That's an easy one.
Yeah, New England as well, no-brainer. Indianapolis Colts at the Kansas City Chiefs. Colts a 6.5-point favorite.
And the Colts lost that game last week, which I kind of expected them to win. But nonetheless, again, we've got Indy in there fighting for the wild card right now. They're the number one. It's against a really pitiful Kansas City team. Think you got to go with Indy on this one.
Yeah, Indianapolis as well on my side. New Orleans Saints at Dallas Cowboys, a must-win for the Cowboys. Cowboys a 3-point favorite. Who do you got, Mike?
Yeah, I don't know if it's really a must-win.
It's a must-win for the Cowboys.
I don't think you can say any of those games really necessarily are must-wins.
Considering the Redskins are playing the Eagles.
Okay.
Come on.
But what I'm saying is I think it's going to come down to the very last game, obviously, of the season. For anybody up there in the NFC NFC East.
Well, from when we looked at the standings, we actually saw that the Giants, Redskins, and the Cowboys could possibly both go 1-1 in the next two games.
Yes, so, absolutely.
So this is a must-win if you look at that. I mean,
and we have this down. We have this pegged down as one of the more interesting games of the entire weekend as well, because as you point out, I mean, you know, Dallas is fighting for number one. They still can win the division outright. New Orleans, up and down. We're never quite sure what team is going to be showing up there.
Yeah.
Because of, and I've been talking about it, you know, and I brought it up to you before, you know, and I brought it up during this show. It's playoff time, guys. It's playoff time. And there's a different kind of synergy that takes place at that time of the year. Dallas. Take Dallas on this one.
Yeah, I got Dallas as well. I think they're going to beat the Saints. Washington Redskins at the Philadelphia Eagles. Redskins a 4.5-point favorite.
Philadelphia is just, you know... We're going to hand Washington the first place in the NFC East this weekend. Take Washington.
Yeah, take Redskins as well on my side. St. Louis Rams at the Tampa Bay Bucks. Bucks, 3-point favorites.
Bucks have lost 3 in a row.
Yeah. Okay. Nobody saw that coming.
In fact, I'm wrong. They've lost 4 in a row. St. Louis, I think and I've been saying it all season long. I think they're better than the record indicates. I'm going to pick the underdog on this. I'm going to pick St. Louis, and I'm going to make Sidekick very happy.
Yeah, I'm taking the Bucks on this one. I think Bucks can actually beat the Rams here and snap that 4-game losing streak. Good game here. New York Giants at the Baltimore Ravens. Giants a 2.5-point favorite, Mike.
And I got to tell you, one of the things I've been talking about, you know, this is the time of year that we have seen the Giants come on and play with a lot of passion.
But they haven't.
Last year, the year before as well. Even the year before. But I think they're going to falter this weekend. I'm going to give it to Baltimore.
Yep, I actually have Baltimore as well. That was my pick there. If Eli and the running game plays like they did against Atlanta last week, Baltimore could easily take this game from the Giants. They're going to have to come out hard. If the Giants win, good for them. If not, Baltimore will take it. I got the Ravens as well.
Yep.
Minnesota Vikings and the newlywed Christian Ponder.
Yep.
At Houston, taking on the Texans. Texans a 7.5-point favorite.
Christian Ponder should have put the wedding off until the end of the season, which I think is going to be coming after next weekend for them. I'm taking Houston on this game.
Yeah, Texans win this game easily. Cleveland Browns at the Denver Broncos. Broncos a 13.5-point favorite, Mike.
No brainer. Yeah. Denver.
Agree as well. Chicago Bears at the Arizona Cardinals. Bears a 5.5-point favorite.
Bears have got me. I've been saying this for a while now. Bears
they
have got me
confused, man.
Yeah, they got me nervous. I mean, they've lost 3 in a row. They're 1-4 in their last 5. But hopefully, this is going to be the week that they're gonna snap back on that one. Arizona won their first game in 9 last week.
Yes.
And they are. This game is at Arizona. That Bears defense better come to play. I'm going to tell you right now. I'm picking Chicago.
Yeah, Chicago as well. San Francisco 49ers at the Seattle Seahawks. 49ers a 1-point favorite, Mike.
Here we go. This is another one of those great games of the weekend. Seattle in there right now fighting for a wild card. They are, it looks like, at this point right now, the number one for the wild card. Synergy, here we go. I'm going to talk it again. It's at Seattle, and their defense has been playing very, very well. You got two defensive teams here going up against each other. We got the lowest over-under points scored on the board. I'm picking Seattle.
Yeah. Well, 49ers clinched. You have to think that, you know, a couple of players could be sitting for the 49ers this week. Yeah, I got Seattle as well, Mike. Mm-hmm. So that doesn't really help my standings there. But New York, San Diego Chargers at the New York Jets. Jets a 2.5-point favorite. Mike, Greg McElroy starting. We just spoke about it. Who do you got in this game?
Yeah, and I just think right now at this particular time, Jonathan, your team is just way too – there's too much going on. There's too much disruption. The media up there is no different than the media we've got here in Philadelphia, if it's not even a little bit worse. A lot of distractions going on. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't think your Jets are going to win. I'm going to pick San Diego.
Yeah, I'm just going to throw a long shot out there and hope for the best. I'm picking the Jets. Not because I think they could actually win this game, but I want to see what Greg McElroy can do. So, you know what? I think, you know, Greg McElroy has been fighting for this chance to get in there and show the team what he can do. They kept him around even after some comments over the last couple of seasons that weren't too favorable for the Jets from Greg McElroy. So, you know, there's a reason why they kept them around, and let's see what happens Sunday.
Well, Jonathan, he didn't look bad in did he start a game this season? I know he was in there. He didn't look bad in one game?
Yeah, one game he was in.
He didn't look bad there.
No.
I mean, I don't take anything away from the kid.
No, I mean, he's got some nice zip to his arm.
Yeah.
There's a couple of things about him that needs some grooming, but, hey, how can you groom him if you don't play? So,
well,
you know, we'll see what happens here. I honestly think Greg McElroy could do a nice job with the team he has. Actually, no, he got into one game. He was 5-for-7 with a touchdown.
Okay, all right. Okay, so he didn't play the whole game. He got into a game.
No, that's when they took Sanchez out, but then they put him back in the fourth.
Correct, right. Okay, I got you. That's right.
So,
that's right.
So,
but,
yeah.
You know, I'm just concerned at this particular time there's way too much controversy swirling around the team.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a distraction.
But you know what? It doesn't seem like Greg McElroy is the kind of kid that can actually let that distraction get in his way, because he's dealt with a lot so far with this Jets team. So, and then he comes in and throws a 1-yard touchdown strike to, I believe it was Jason Cumberland a couple of games ago. So we'll see what happens. All right, that's our Week 16 picks. Mike's got a 6-game lead over me. Let's see if I could at least shorten it a little bit. That would be nice.
Yeah, we didn't have too many games that are different there.
No, there's a lot of more no-brainers.
One, two, three. Only three games that we differed on.
Yeah, so hopefully I can knock you down 3 games.
Mm-hmm.
And then knock you down another 3 in the next week. And then
there you go.
You know what? We'll just have to do some playoff ties.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
we'll keep it going through the playoffs.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. All right, a little bit of MLB hot stove here, Mike. Texas Rangers have met with outfielder Cody Ross, who's drawing a lot of interest from your Phillies, my Mets, crosstown rival Yankees, Red Sox, Mariners, Orioles, and a whole bunch of other teams. He's basically and possibly the best outfielder left out there.
Yeah.
Twins, Rockies, and Reds interested in starting pitcher Freddie Garcia. Marlins actually, you know, they've been checking out Miguel Tejada, Mike. Miguel Tejada didn't play last season. He was with the Orioles on a minor league deal last year, but never came up. That's an interesting move from the once mighty Miami Marlins from last season, who sucked. Yankees looking into re-signing outfielder Raul Abanez, who there were talks about the Phillies going after.
Right.
That could still happen. Who knows? You know, Mike, what's going on with your Phillies over there, man? They've been pretty quiet.
Yeah, I for one wanted them to make the push for Cody Ross. I'm getting more and more concerned that it's not going to happen. Only because, I mean, we first heard the talk about it, I guess it was last Wednesday or Thursday, and there's been no movement on it since, and now you're telling me that there's been other interest from other teams. So I'm a little bit unsure as to what's going on there. I'm not terribly optimistic that anything's going to happen there.
Yeah. They are interested in acquiring Vernon Wells from the Angels. What do you think about that move? Is that just adding more age to an already aging lineup?
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
Yeah, it's, it's okay. We'll see what happens there.
Well,
I'm not overly gushing about it, you know.
Well, he had 11 home runs and 29 RBIs last year in 77 games. So, nothing too impressive there, Mike.
Yeah, well, Raul Abanez is out there too, and I think he had slightly better numbers.
Well, yeah, and I think he played in more games last year. I think
for the
Yankees.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of it was at the DH spot. So let's say if the Phillies do somehow bring Raul Abanez back, can he actually prosper with this team? Do you see him as an everyday player, or are those days behind him?
I don't think he could probably play every day. I think he could still play the outfield, but I don't think he could play every day.
Yeah, he played 130 games last season for the Yankees, 80 in left field, 13 in right field, and the rest were at the DH spot.
Yeah, I don't think he could play every single day out in the outfield.
He went 93 games last year, no errors.
Yep.
In the outfield for Raul Abanez, so.
Yep.
But were those games?
No, I mean, you know,
only a few winnings left, or what? So
I you know, let's not forget. I mean, the Yankees got him last year for $1 million.
Yeah.
I wouldn't think that it would be a heck of a lot more than that to get him back for a year.
Yeah.
So, you know, some people might say I'm talking out of my mind here in the Philadelphia area, but I never wanted to see the guy go to begin with, to be perfectly honest with you.
So let me ask you this. Do you think it would have been smart for the Phillies to try to bring back Victorino and maybe Ibanez instead of waiting out and possibly being without anybody on this free market or what?
I was frankly a little bit surprised that they didn't go after Victorino. It didn't bother me. I mean, we got Ben Revere, so I'm copacetic with that, and we'll see where that one goes.
Yeah. Well, you know what? You got Ben Revere. Michael Bourne is still out there. Eventually, he'll drop, or maybe the Phillies might even overpay to get a Michael Bourne. Now you're going to have two outfielders who are basically the same type of player.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if the Phillies did something like that, is that something to be excited about, or what?
Well, I'd be excited with Michael Bourne. I'm fine with that. You and I have talked about that. There's a reason why he's sitting after as long as he has, and that is because he's asking for way too much.
Yeah. Well, that we're talking about Michael Bourne and his agent. We're thinking about dropping to taking a 1-year deal and trying to play the season out and see if they can get a better deal next season.
Well, there you go. And then maybe that's. But you know, I don't know. Would the Phillies really want to go and just sign somebody for 1 year, particularly somebody like a Michael Bourne? I mean, you know, this is the kind of thing where I think. What the fan base here wants is we want to start seeing movement towards rebuilding, movement towards building toward a future. That's
yeah.
what we want to start seeing here. We don't want to see this Band-Aid type of issue.
Yeah.
See, I think Cody Ross has got plenty. You know, he's got 3-4 years easily, maybe more. I'd love to see a Cody Ross move.
Yeah. Well, absolutely. What about a Scott Harrison? You know, former Met. You know, still rumors that he might re-sign with the Mets, but you know, nice power hitting righty for you. You know, I mean, that could be a nice little option for Philadelphia. What do you think?
20 home runs last year, .263 batting average, 57 RBIs. Not bad.
Yeah. Listen, if you lose out on Cody Ross.
Yeah, I still prefer Cody Ross. Yeah.
Well, yeah, absolutely. But I think Cody Ross is going to end up signing with. The Rangers or the Yankees or even the Orioles. I think that'd be a nice signing for Baltimore.
Yes.
Cody Ross.
Yes. Absolutely.
I would love to see Cody Ross in the Mets jersey. I mean, they're out there looking for an outfielder. You know, wonder if they overpay for Cody Ross just to get him in here.
Does it surprise you that Lance Berkman has not been picked up as a DH?
Yeah, it actually does surprise me, especially since St. Louis is talking about trying to get him back. Over there, Houston, you know what? You know, somebody's got to sign him. He'd be a nice DH.
I thought, yeah, that's exactly what my thinking was at the beginning of the free agent market. My thinking was Lance Berkman goes American League and he plays DH. And I think that he could add some pop to a DH in a DH position in somebody's lineup.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see why not. I mean, you know, he went to the Yankees that year, one home run, 9 RBIs in 37 games, and I think most of that was from the DH spot as well. So
right. Kyle Loesch still hangs out there.
You know what? That I can't believe.
I know.
That I can't believe. But we'll see what happens.
Who's his agent? Who's his agent?
It's not Gary Sheffield, I know, because Jason uh-huh. really signed. So.
What's the latest on Nick Swisher?
Nick Swisher, I think, is going to end up in Cleveland.
Okay.
Yeah, I honestly believe he's going to end up in Cleveland. They really want him. That's been trickling down a lot over the last couple of weeks. Is that you know? And you know what? He's not visiting the Giants during his tour. So, mm-hmm. Candidates that want him. So that's so that says a lot. You know, looks like he doesn't want to play in the West Coast. So Cleveland might be a nice fit for Nick Swisher. Let's talk a little NBA, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
First, let me throw it out there. Amari Stoudemire from the Knicks practiced for the first time yesterday, so he's getting ready to come back. And he wants to play off the bench, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
That could be a really, really nice piece for the Knicks coming off the bench instead of putting him right into the starting lineup. You got Amari Stoudemire coming off the bench leading these bench players with J.R. Smith and stuff. I mean, that's potentially two starting lineups for the Knicks there.
I was going to say, like, you need any more help off the bench. Cut me a break, will you?
Hey. Listen, you know what? I like it.
Of course you do.
That also spells Rasheed Wallace a little less minutes, keep him a little fresher. He hasn't played the last couple of games either.
Mm-hmm.
So that could be something good for the New York Knicks.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
Yep.
Pau Gasol, Mike. Los Angeles Lakers, something we've spoken a lot about here over the previous weeks, starting Mike Brown being fired, which we predicted. Mm-hmm. Predicted also Mike D'Antoni signing. And, so far the Lakers have rolled off three straight wins, barely, because they beat the 7-17 Bobcats last night by 1 point, Mike.
Right.
1 point, which is, for a Lakers team, that's not good.
Well, take a look at it. I mean, one more time, no defense.
Yeah. Win is a win. We always say that. But still, 1 point win against the Bobcats with your fab team there of Dwight Howard, Kobe Bryant, Pau Gasol, Ron Artest, and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Gasol comes back 29 minutes last night, 10 points, 9 rebounds, 5 assists, 4 blocks. Really not a bad game for him, mm-hmm. especially when you think of having the Bull Hogs of Kobe Bryant and Dwight Howard next to you.
Right.
Still able to rattle off a decent game. I mean, that's... 9 rebounds, 5 assists, 4 blocks. I mean, that's stats any team would like to have, Mike.
Sure. Listen, I would take it for the Sixers right now.
And you would take anything for the. You would take me for the Sixers right now.
We'll talk about them in a moment. But you indicate that it looks like a pretty good. Consider. I mean, Gasol missed what, 8 games?
Yeah.
Apparently it was knee tendonitis. However, Jonathan, there were rumors that, in fact, it wasn't as bad as all that.
No, because we knew right away. He was benched 2 games before, and all of a sudden he's got knee tendonitis.
Right. Okay. So while you're saying, not a bad performance, not a bad output by Pau Gasol, you still got to wonder, I mean, if, in fact, there's really no, I'm not saying the guy didn't have, maybe he had a little inflammation or something. I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
But,
he could have played through it, I think.
Exactly. Is this a good performance from a guy who's basically healthy but has been telling people, or maybe the team's been telling people, he's got knee tendonitis?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, listen, he took 10 shots. He only made 3, 4 for 6 from the line. Listen, I don't care what player you are. It's hard to try to get into the 20-point range when you got Kobe Bryant taking 25-plus shots.
Yeah.
That goes for any team, for any player, mm-hmm. Taking that many shots. It's easier down in Miami because LeBron's been passing more often than he did in Cleveland.
Right.
But, Kobe Bryant, even though he had 7 assists last night, still took 24 shots.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we'll see what happens. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, we've talked about this Laker team numerous times. You don't seem to feel that Gasol is going to work here at the Lakers, yes?
Oh, no, he's not, because I know Mike D'Antoni, I know his system, and this is not what Pau Gasol's built for. I mean,
okay,
he's got a certain breed of player in there.
So is he getting moved by midseason?
He has to. Why hold on to him? Get something for him. Mm-hmm. There's teams out there that could use him. Philadelphia, Toronto, Cleveland, Washington, Charlotte. There's so many teams out there. Even a return to Memphis, I think, would be nice for him.
Yeah, I don't think Philly's got anything to give for him. I don't think there's anything that the Lakers would be interested in.
Honestly, try to get a second-round draft pick for him. Build the package. Try to get a couple of picks for him. If a team is that interested in Pau Gasol, you're going to be able to get something for him.
I, for one, would be. I would like to see the Sixers make that move.
Well, we knew that already. I mean, wow, Sixers are desperate. Right.
Yeah,
now. And, 12 and 13, they're still balancing out there near the 500 mark. I mean, it's not that awful. But, like you said, they put in so much for a player that's possibly never going to put on a Philadelphia 76ers jersey. It's awful for them.
Well, here's my concern. They're 3-7 in their last 10. They've lost 4 in a row.
Yes.
I made the comment to you pre-show. It might just be getting time for the Sixers to sound the alarm.
Well, like I'm going to say, too, be happy that Toronto's in that Atlantic division there, Mike, because that'll keep Philadelphia out of last place.
Well, okay, but, that's not what we're looking for. That's not what the fan base was expecting.
Because Boston's not that good. So.
We could talk all we want about Andrew Bynum, and we've already made mention to it. And obviously it's starting to appear that it wasn't the best move in the world to make.
Yeah.
Nonetheless, this team is not losing because Andrew Bynum's not there. This team is losing because there's no defense.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we need to do something about the defense. And that's why I'm saying I think it's getting close to the point where the Sixers are going to have to sound the alarm if, in fact, they want to seriously make a run at postseason.
Yeah.
And I think that this team wants to do that because, look, they're coming off of a surprising season last year. Mind you, it was a shortened season. Mind you, it was the beginning of a season that benefited the Sixers. They had a fairly easy schedule in the beginning of the season, that shortened season. But nonetheless, they went fairly deep into the playoffs, and this fan base was excited. And that was a fan base that was excited before Andrew Bynum got here.
Yes.
This Sixers management has got to find a way to get this fan base behind them, and they're going to have to do it, I would say, in the next 2 to 3 weeks.
Okay. Well, you know what? Real quick, you're talking about defense. Is it because the 76ers just don't have any good defensive players, or does that fall on the shoulders a little bit of Doug Collins?
No, I wouldn't put it on Doug Collins at all. Okay. I think that this team is void of really serious defensive players. I think that that's what they were kind of hoping for, obviously, from Bynum.
Yeah.
But I made the comment to you, and I don't need you to throw it back in my face. Well, I told you. But I'll tell you right now, I would take that team from last year in place of what I've got right now.
Absolutely. I mean, why wouldn't you? I mean, you know what? You're missing a nice defensive stopper in Andre Iguodala. I mean, that was the guy that guarded your best, the best players of every team.
Absolutely. And here's what it kind of annoys me a bit, because I know that there was an awful lot, and I hear it. And look, there were times that I was very, very down on Iguodala as well, okay? And I've told my reasons for that. And I think it was because there was a lot of hype about him coming in. And
yeah.
He never turned out to be quite the leader that he was presented by management as being. That he was going to be the next big leader of the team. That didn't happen because
he's a role player.
Exactly. That's yeah. Iguodala's style.
They didn't build a team around him and give him people that he could actually click with.
But if we had his defensive presence right now, I'm going to tell you, we would be looking at at least 4, maybe 5 more wins in the win column.
Well, he played a big part with the Nuggets last night down in the 19-8 Spurs, starting 37 minutes. 9 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals, 1 block, 14 points, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
He was a plus 9 for the night. So, that was the second highest rating of the night with plus 10 going to Danilo Gallinari, 28 points. So, I mean, he played a big defensive game last night for the Denver Nuggets starting.
Right.
37 minutes against the Spurs, that says a lot. Most of the night was guarding Danny Green, one of the better players on the Spurs this season. Averaging around 9.8 points per game and held them to about 3 points last night.
Right.
So
the only comment I would make is that for all those Philadelphia fans out there that are saying, well, you know, look, we really didn't need Iguodala, I want you to sit back right now and I want you to take a look and diagnose what the problems are with the Sixers. The problems are defense. And while you didn't like Iguodala, the bottom line is if you had him right now, your defense would be a heck of a lot better.
Oh, yeah. And even Vucevic. Don't discount him because you need that big guy in the middle, so, or at least an extra big guy because Spencer Hawes is garbage. And I've said that before and I'll say it again.
Well, he's skittish.
He's garbage, Mike. You got to put him in a hefty bag,
tie
it up, put him out to the curb and see if another team takes him.
He has a good game and then he'll come out and he'll have 2-3 stinkers.
Yeah, which is not good for a team trying to win games.
No. No.
All right, Mike, well, that's another show, episode 41 and wrapped up right now. Yeah, man, 41 episodes in now. Just want to thank all of our listeners out there for always tuning in. Thank Blog Talk Radio for always helping us out and featuring us and featuring our wonderful guests all the time. And it makes a big difference.
Yep.
As always, frathousesports.net. Check out Mike, Sidekick, and the gang over there. Great stuff. And fanjunkies.net, where social networking meets sports, where sports meets social networking. It's great stuff. Head on over and sign up. For Mike McShane, I'm Jonathan Ragus. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you all on Friday.
Catch you Friday.
Maybe you're a 49ers fan in Jacksonville or a Jets fan in Houston, and you're looking to connect with fellow fans from hundreds or thousands of miles away. Look no further than FanJunkies.net. FanJunkies.net is a social networking site dedicated to fans of every team and every league. Connect with baseball, football, basketball, and hockey fans from throughout the country and throughout the world. Get the latest news, take polls, and interact in live chats on game day. And best of all, it's absolutely free to join. Sign up today at FanJunkies.net. We'll be right back. FanJunkies.net, where sports meets social networking.